Week 1, Day 1. Scripture reading, Luke 1, 26 through 56. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of meaning this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be for me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Worship by Submission by Dory and Jim Gruen. The word worship finds its roots in the Old English worship, meaning worthiness or worship, to give something its due value. When we truly value something, we assign it great worth. This week, we reflect on three women named Mary in Scripture and how their worship was a response to God's worthiness. Today, we begin with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was likely in her mid to late teens when the angel Gabriel appeared to her with a world-altering message. She would give birth to the Son of God. In that moment, we see her heart clearly. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." With that one simple yet profound statement, Mary reveals a radical trust in God and a heart surrendered to his will. What does God see in Mary that causes him to choose her for an extraordinary role? He sees a servant's heart full of humility, faith, and courage. The word handmaid literally means female servant. Mary not only recognizes her identity as a servant of God, but she also embraces it. In doing so, she opens herself up to being used by God in an unprecedented way. Mary worships God by trusting Him, even when the path ahead is filled with uncertainty. Becoming pregnant outside of marriage puts her at risk of public shame, rejection, and possibly even death by stoning. Yet, she believes God's plan is worth the cost. She accepts her calling with grace and faith, embodying the truth of 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. You are not your own, therefore honor God with your bodies. Mary's song in Luke chapter 1:46 through 47 begins, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Even before the full weight of her calling unfolds, she chooses worship over worry. She gives up control and places her life entirely in God's hands. That level of surrender doesn't come from a weakness. It comes from trust in the one who holds all things together. Submission to God is not about losing power. It's about transferring fear of control into trust. Control becomes the issue when we fear the unknown more than we trust the one who knows it all. Living consciously in our identity in God as His servant empowers us to take radical steps of faith. Like Mary, we can respond to God's worthiness with a life of daily worship, humble obedience, and courageous trust. In doing so, we align our hearts with His divine purpose, allowing His grace to transform our fears into bold acts of love and devotion. Question number one. What areas of your life are hardest to give God control over? Question number two. Why are you resistant to giving up control? Question number three. How does seeing your identity as God's servant shape the way you worship and live by faith today? Daily prayer. Lord Jesus, help us to look beyond ourselves and our circumstances and to trust you in all areas of our lives. Open our eyes, Lord, to what is blocking us from submitting completely to you in our pursuit of holiness. Amen.